Scott Jennings, and today we're talking about designing with cost in mind. Executive summary. Contractors often brought into a project early on by owners who are looking to cut costs or minimize costs. So here are some guidelines on infrastructure project cost-cutting measures from a contractor's viewpoint. It's advice to a design team. How estimating is done. In civil infrastructure work, most contractors use crew-based methods for estimating. This means that each and every activity on the job is evaluated individually from every other activity on the job. A crew is assigned with a certain component breakdown of human beings and equipment. X number of laborers, Y number of operators, and then certain specifically sized pieces of equipment to the task at hand. And then after that's done, that crew will then have a productivity rate and type established to it. So for example, a pipe crew will put on the ground X lineal feet a day of pipe. A rebar crew puts in Y number of tons per shift. If there's a crew out there setting bridge beams, well, they're going to get, you know, one beam an hour or whatever, X number of beams and so many hours, whatever it may be. So this varies significantly from unit price estimating, wherein a book is opened and then there's an established price of laying down ceramic tile, and that costs, you know, X dollars per square foot to do that. So that's a major difference between infrastructure and, say, vertical or building construction estimating practices. Components of cost in a bid. So a bid has very few cost components. It has labor, one, equipment, two, subcontractor, three, material, four, and let's just say other as a fifth cost type. Only five cost types, whether your job is $50,000 or $5 billion, you really only got those cost types. And yeah, for you naysayers out there, sure, you're right. There's going to be other costs in there like escalation, tax, labor fringes, overhead, insurance, bond, freight, other regional specialty costs like ghost riders, you know, if you have things which are, you know, specific to an actual region of the country. Anyway, if an owner can think in these terms, then that cost can be minimized. You know, if I change this on a design, am I reducing the number of people I need on a crew, or can I go down from a crane to an excavator on hoisting something? You know, bigger equipment usually costs bigger money. There's several ways you can look at a construction project and you can design it better. So if you look in the article, there's an actual table provided with several different aspects of the project, the infrastructure project, which can be looked at for bettering the cost. So if you start from the top of this chart, we won't go through all of them, but just some of the ones that I think they're all important, but I'll just pick out a few here and talk about them. Time is a big killer on a job cost, on a budget for a project. It's easy to cost the job more money. Just make it, you know, make it be performed in a shorter amount of time, which is unreasonable. Unreasonable compressed time is going to increase the inefficiency of the crews. It's going to increase the room for error. It's going to increase error in the actual construction of the job. All these things add up to contractors at bid time putting more money in the bid because they know they're going to make mistakes. They know they're going to be working inefficiently. Access. Access is a huge deal for contractors. Can the contractor actually get to the work? Building a pool in your backyard after your house is already built and the rest of the neighborhood is done is a heck of a lot harder than building a pool before the neighborhood is complete. The access is terrible. In your home, you look out in the backyard, yeah, I wouldn't want to get an excavator back here. There's no access to my backyard. Same thing on a construction site. If the construction site is inaccessible because it is along the side of a highway where the traffic is going 70 miles an hour, that's going to be very difficult to work in. So project access, if you're going up a side of a mountain and you have no access from side means to get into valleys or get into the, say, the pipe alignment, there's no access to get to the job because of grade or density of brush or whatever it may be. Access, access, access. As far as specific types of work, we talk about, say, clearing a job. You have a 10-acre job and there's a whole bunch of green waste, brush on the job. A great way to increase cost in your job is to make sure that the green waste has to be hauled off site. That's just simply because it takes a lot of money to put a person in a truck, load the truck, and drive that truck, whatever it is, 2 miles or 25 miles down the road to dispose of this green waste. And then maybe when the trucker tips his bed back and dumps, he's got to pay a dump fee on top of that. Earthwork is a major way to affect cost on a job. Again, same thing, off-haul. If you can balance a job, in other words, if you have to, you look out the window right now at the job site and there it is. It has its own contours and the ground goes up and it goes down. If you maintain the cuts and the fills across your job so that no dirt ever has to leave the job, you know, that's called a balanced site. You're not having to import any aggregate or dirt. You're not having to export any dirt. All of these things cost money. Again, you put dirt in a truck, you drive it down the road, you're paying a driver, and you're paying that truck by the hour, and then maybe you're paying a dump fee. In earthwork, you can also consider asset valuation. Maybe you're in the middle of Seattle, and it rains there almost every day. But if you're working in the winter there, and it's raining every day, and your site underneath the surface has gravel, that becomes a commodity for local contractors or other local owners. Perhaps you can sell the gravel under your job site in January when people need aggregate to keep working. That can be very profitable and add to the bottom line as an owner. Pipe laying, good way to cost your job more money. Make the pipe heavy. You know, if you have to get a big machine to lift a big pipe, it just costs big money. Heavy pipe usually costs more money. Use lighter pipe. Can you use PVC instead of ductile? Do you have to go with concrete pipe, reinforced concrete pipe? Can you go with something of a, you know, smaller wall thickness so it's just lighter for the guys and gals to put on the ground? Depth is obviously a huge one on pipe laying. Deeper you go, the more unknowns which are going to come at you, the more excavation you have, obviously, the more rock you may have, and then maybe you're going to get in a groundwater table. There's nothing good about going deeper, except for engineers and myself who like things like that. That's fun construction to go deeper with pipe. But for an owner, the deeper you go, the more risk you take on and usually more cost that you take on as well. Walls, material selection for walls, cast in place walls. You have rebar, which has to be installed. You have concrete, which has to be bought and poured and formed. Just a lot of money going into installing a cast in place wall. If you can buy precast wall panels, which get installed in some method, be it a keystone wall, a block wall, perhaps you have a reinforced structural earth wall. These things are usually more inexpensive or less expensive because a lot of the fabrication is done off-site. Owner involvement. I talk to a lot of owners who say, oh, we'll provide, you know, additional labor for the job. You know, we've got some guys over there in the plant who could really know the plant. They could help. Or we're going to buy this $1 million pump package for the contractor and hand it to him so we can save, you know, a 10% markup on $1 million. Well, that all may be correct. You know, that is good thinking in theory, and it looks great on a piece of paper. But the moment that you have problems getting your pumps out of Germany, Japan, wherever it may be, the moment you have a difficult time getting those big pumps out of those places and all of a sudden your contractor is standing around, you have 100 guys with 75 pieces of gear, with a couple office trailers all sitting around waiting on your pumps, and now you're paying the contractor to sit around and wait because you decided to save $100,000 on supplying these pumps. That is what the contractor does for a living. The contractor beats on suppliers and makes sure the things come in on time, and when they don't come in on time, it's not your problem as the owner. Lastly, my story. I've been brought in numerous times to help designers improve a design, and frankly, one of my favorite parts of the business is value engineering. There's a lot of designers that can learn from contractors. The biggest benefit an owner can get from their designer is their ability, the designer's ability, to listen to the contractor. Or, if the designer is unwilling or is not paired up with a contractor, a great benefit to the owner can be having a designer which has been in the field and seen all the challenges in building a construction site firsthand. He or she can know that, oh, well, I can use a smaller excavator to hoist that versus having to get a 100-ton crane in, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the things I would advise. Thanks for listening. Work safe.